Rizzo Crew 3 podcast. Rose Ruck with me as always are my co-hosts Chris and Ricky. Do you want to say hello?
Hey.
I've been reminded that I've not been I was trying to be hardline Ruckman and I went soft on the people. So all these little tampon strings out here listening.
Oh no.
Get their issue in order.
This is a family friendly. I don't approve of any of this. I don't approve of any of it. We need to be ambassadors for the game.
No. We don't even know what that means.
We need to be ambassadors. Nobody knows what it means.
It's provocative.
It gets the people going.
Definitely got the people going. That's for sure.
Well, talk about balling so hard this week. We had a very fun. I think Europe was the last regionals. I think there maybe is one more, but I think we're Europe. Athens was kind of the last one.
There's one more Canada.
Oh, that's right. One more Canada. Yeah. Because Canada gets two. But Legacy European Championship had a heck of a sweet meta. Yeah. Obviously, the top eight doesn't really reflect that, but the field at large was very diverse. Europe out here wild. So we got some fun deck lists to talk about from that. Then we saw some fun deck lists kind of break out the challenge this week. And then we thought, hey, in the spirit of brewing and just kind of embracing just sort of some budget magic, we went ahead and did a little challenge between us where we said, let's do a $150 deck building challenge. And then I also set that out to the patrons. So we have not only our $150 brews, but we have some Patreon $150 brews as well. And all of that will be linked at the bottom. So you can go check those deck lists out as we finish talking about them.
Buy them all with our affiliate link.
That we don't have. I'm trying to.
Simo 5.
Oh,
that's
man.
A picture of me and Chris.
That's right. At my wedding, was Ricky proposing to me?
My favorite is the fact that I still have yet to put in pictures of the actual bridal party and groom's party in our nice little.
No. They're in there. I've seen them.
Yeah. People who have been to our house still fall for that. And I love it every time.
Yeah.
In fact, there's not pictures of us. Anyway, before we start talking about sick deck lists, let's talk about some sick prices that actually make me sick. And Grand Prix are back.
Don't even say that.
Just don't even.
Huey called it a Grand Prix.
I don't care.
All right. So obviously, for those of you not in the know, at the time of recording yesterday, they announced that MagicCon Las Vegas will feature a massive limited event, cap 2,000 players, essentially a limited GP, with a whopping entry fee of, what was it, $120?
Yes. That's $160.
$160. Yep. But you have to baseline pay $65 to get in for the weekend. But don't worry. If you buy the two-day pass and you make top eight, they will comp you. And you make day two, they will comp you your entry fee into day two. So,
day three.
Man, I got to tell you, I don't think I would care as much if we didn't also just come off of DreamHack, where ticket prices, if you got an early bird special, were pretty similar, or if you use like our 20% off code, were pretty similar for this, and you got way more value from your ticket in, right?
That $65 ticket is not a full weekend pass. That is a two-day pass. You do not get to show up on Sunday.
Is it not?
No.
It says weekend pass.
Right.
Weekend being Friday,
Saturday. Weekend pass, right? But technically, okay. I said you only need a Friday, Saturday pass to play the event.
Okay.
And so a lot of people have been quoting the cheapest ticket you could buy, which is 2 one-day passes. One for Friday, one for Saturday.
Sure, but that's
the
like
actual how... 3-day pass is more expensive than the $65.
I don't see another 3-day pass that isn't that.
Okay.
I think this just like, I mean, that's like how DreamHack was though, was if you were going to buy kind of DreamHack was like, if you're going to buy 2 DreamHack days, single days, you're actually to save money to buy the 3-day. Based on the way this is worded, there is no like separate 3-day pass. So I do believe the weekend $65.
Are the tickets already up for sale?
They go on sale tomorrow.
Ah, so you got to get in line quickly if you want the Black Lotus 79th VIP.
Yeah, the $700 package for that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? And look, I am totally fine that they figured out how to monetize their events, right? At the same time, did they really need to? Because as it was pointed out, these events are more so marketing expenses. And when you are a billion-dollar company, you can lose money on marketing.
So,
but you don't have to, because people are going to pony up that exactly. free fitty.
To go play in the free play area that you paid $65 in. So is it really free?
So there was no free play area last time until a riot broke out, right?
Yes.
Right, right.
I think that this entire event is because they're going to the same venue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want the nobody playing in the commander zone area.
Yep.
So they're just like, we got to fill these chairs with people.
Yeah.
We look bad when they're empty, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't let people just sit here, because if they're sitting, they're not spending money at the merch booth, right?
Yeah.
So we can't have that. People can't talk to each other. They can't have a good time and play Magic the Gathering unless we are making money off of that.
Yeah.
So we got to fill it with something. I think the whole Magic Con Vegas, and this time, like, Worlds is there, right?
Sure, yeah.
So I'm excited about Worlds, I guess, but like...
Do you guys remember the SCG, maybe it was the channel, I think it was Channel Fireball experience of like tiered price, and how did you feel about that?
Like, what do you know, pay to not get the playmat, you could just like get the...
You could pay more to get the VIP experience.
And that's fine, right. And they're still doing that with this one, but it's like the VIP experience is like a lot of ish. And like is very, very more expensive. My
real problem with the whole thing is not the price of the entry fee. It's not the prize support. It's not any of that. It's the putting this event in an event inside of another event that does not appeal to competitive Magic players.
Sure.
Like your Magic Con is an event for your Commander players and the people who want to like not necessarily play competitive Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's cool that exists for them. But to then take like things that like, or the idea of things, right. Especially to use the word GP, right. Which so many competitive Magic players are like, please bring back GPs. Like we miss them so much. Like literally now becoming a childhood memory of GPs. Right. And to like use that word to go like, look,
well,
I know you're not interested in this big, stupid convention where you buy merch and nothing much else. Here's some panels, you know, that you could hear on a podcast for free, right?
Yeah.
If you come now, there's a GP. We're going to use the word GP.
Well, they have not used the word GP. They have just really, really heavily implied it. And I agree with your overall point. I think that they have implied this is a Grand Prix by saying people have asked for us to bring back open, right? Competitive tournaments again. What's the last one that we had? Grand Prix. So they're definitely heavily implying by saying we're bringing back, and then also using the word again, the only open competitive tournaments that existed were
Here's Grand my thing Prix. Too. How hard would it have been to just, you're paying the $120 entry fee for the main event, right? Air quotes the main event, because the world is going to be like the main event, right? Just give them the 3-day pass. Because these people are going to be tied up doing stuff anyway during Saturday and Sunday, or Friday and Saturday, that it's like they're not going to be able to do all of the other stuff that pass would generally have entitled them to. So just give them entry into the event.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I think
The actual convention get you?
So if it's like any of the other Magic Cons, right? You now, since Minneapolis also was a similar thing where they're like, we opened the free play Commander Zone for everyone. Everyone can go play. So it gets you into the hall so you can play side events. You can buy merch. And they haven't announced panels yet, but they've said we're taking community applications for panels. There's going to be the cosplay contest where you can see Magic cosplayers duke out for $50 in Joanne gift cards. here's some previews of an upcoming set, which you're tired of anyway, because that's all your Twitter feed is now, because we're just shoving previews down your throat. So it's, do you want to pay to go to Vegas to watch a cosplay contest, which I'm not trying to slight the cosplayers, right? They do some amazing work. They do a lot of great work. But it's like, the value of the entry fee to, and this is again me, if $65, there's enough for you to get your $65 out of, do it. Have fun. You know what? I can go free play at my LGS. I can go drive to where my buddies live, and we can have fun with the free play area. And I can spend that money on gas and going to Gen with the boys, right? Right. But it's like, you know, Dream, and again, I'm coming down to like, you look at things now with like MTG Summit and DreamHack. Summit, I think isn't still DreamHack levels, but I think Summit still just has a lot of other interesting things to do with all their kind of creative side events, because they have like the Brandon Sanderson stuff and things like that. There is extra draws to Summit outside of just playing Magic. And of course, DreamHack is DreamHack. So I feel like they kind of shot themselves in the foot for trying to be like, we're this whole convention experience now. And it's like, you guys have 5 panels in a cosplay contest. Like,
I just,
other big events happening now.
I guess my big thing is I haven't really paid for a DreamHack.
Sure.
Which is lucky, right?
Right.
Content creator program or being qualified,
yeah,
or both, right? So,
I mean, even in the content creator program, each DreamHack I've attended, I've paid $150 in entry fees for RCQs.
Well, I mean, like, I haven't paid to get into the hall. Right?
I hear you.
So I don't like the idea of paying to get into a GP, right? That's kind of like the SCG cons and stuff like that. You don't pay to get into the SCG con. You pay for all the events that you're going to enter in the SCG con. You buy all the stuff. You buy the merch at the merch booth. You know, whenever there's like a GP or, you know, back in the day, or an SCG con nowadays, right? I call all my friends who've only played Magic like years ago, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to show up and they're going to play like a twin headed sealed of the newest set, and they're going to have a good time. And then they're going to go, oh, I don't want these cards. They're going to drop them off at the vendor, right?
Yeah. SCG Con Fort Worth in October. Like, I'm talking to Mary, like, hey,
yeah,
let's take a weekend trip. We'll go see your dad one day. The other day, we'll go hang out with the boys, have some fun. And then that's it. It'll be a fun weekend, right?
That's the thing I miss the openness of it. Like, I don't care if tournament entry fees are expensive, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd pay $150 to play in a GP.
Right? Sure. 100%.
I would not pay to go to a GP by itself, right? To not play any events, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't pay a price to walk in the door of a GP, because like, on top of that, like, you know, the people who I, you know, grind with, hashtag grinder, right?
Yeah.
They're going to go to the big events, right?
Sure.
But with a GP and stuff like that, other people will also show up because it's free for them to show up. And then they'll play a draft. They'll do something. They'll spend some money eventually, right?
Tie the badge to, like, give me one draft a day. Like, give me something for that extra $65 that is outside of just watching a couple panels that I'm not going to care about.
Right.
I'm to the age where I'm fine. I would like the option, right? I like the idea of things being open because, again, it's not just them, right? They sell floor space. I'm not saying they make money on these, but they sell these floor spaces to other vendors,
right?
Card vendors, merch vendors, artists. Those people all show up and they pay good money for those vendor booths. Those vendor booths are not super cheap. They pay good money to get there. You're also selling your own stuff. They make a lot of hand over fist money back in the accessory things, right? That's why you say, hey, the big thing for a game store is selling food. I am fine with some events like you said. Hey, I'll pay some money to get in just so you know that I'm there on good faith, right? It also – I especially after the IRL streamer stuff, there's a lot of people that I don't want at these events who are just like grifters who do not care about the community, which there are a few of. So I'd be fine. I love Ruckman's idea. I'll pay $50. Give me some side events. Give me some merch for that. Give me something so that it says, hey, I am here to pay to play, right?
Yeah.
But I get some value for my money. Because again,
you get a traditional foil arcane signet.
Right. Right. Right.
The first DreamHack in Dallas.
Yeah.
Your $100 weekend pass ticket to DreamHack
came with some entry
fees. Came with $50 of entry fees to Magic events.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, right? That was very nice.
And so, like, now they don't do that because they give away free entry fees to everybody who qualifies, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is excellent, right? like DreamHack is different because I think it is worth the price because there's so much more. There's
so much going on. Yeah, exactly. Magic,
yeah.
Which you wouldn't know because they're going to try to shove the magic in the furthest reaches corners of the galaxy. But if you do get the time to go over and check out the rest of the DreamHack, it's a lot. Yeah. And it's really exciting.
And again, to like the people who are on Twitter who are like, here's a breakdown of how much that venue cost and how much like their cost into it is. It's like, at the end of the day, they're a business and I respect the like business have to make money, right? Like that is that is case in point what a business is for. Now, I am also in my right to say I don't want to buy the product they're selling me here. And here are the reasons why I don't want to buy the product they're selling me here. At the same time, I also do believe when you have these big events, these are more so advertisement for your product. And so you are not losing money because, again, if you can get these people who haven't played Magic in a couple of years to come back in, get involved in the game, they might keep buying product again. You know, like you have to think about these outside of just they're trying to run an event because this isn't an independent group running the event. These are the people who make the game running the event.
Right.
Right.
And they turned a lot of people off with their pricing, right? Like I do think that it is defensible, but there are a lot of people who are upset with it, which means there's
$25 base.
Right. Which means there's something to be said.
That's the real thing. The real thing is at the end of the day, people are going for the aforementioned cosplay contest for the aforementioned commander, right?
Yeah.
And those people are going to be bored to tears with nothing to do. So they are going to play the event. Sure. Like, in my opinion, I personally think that, like, there's no way it doesn't sell out. And that's what kind of frustrates me because, like, they said that if you want more things like this, you know, if this sells out, we'll see about it, right? Mm. Which just kind of feels just so, one, condescending, like, two, like...
I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, we've spent long enough on this, but we said the same thing about their proxies thing, and that proxies thing did not go over well. I don't care what anybody tells me. They did not sell that in the way that they wanted to. So we'll see if it does or if it doesn't, you know? Like, and they may be peer pressure enough with people not liking the price to throw some extras in there, right? So they sometimes do listen, so we'll see what happens.
Well, that's what they did last year. It's like... the product was going over so badly that they threw packs of it in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The VIP packages.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
All right. Well,
let's get to some good stuff.
Let's talk about Sweet Pioneer is. Let's talk about the Drake's list for the challenges real quick, and then we can talk about the LEC Europe stuff and move into our deck list. So real quick, challenge top eights. Victor Gobra 10 on mono white. Sorry, let me make sure I have the right one here, which is, yeah, okay. So Saturday, Victor Gobra on mono white humans. Bullwinkle 6705 on Is It Drake's. Ivan Drago on Azorius Spirits. Knepis 6 on Blue Rises Phoenix. What is this? Oh, this is the Nebulich Phoenix. Cool, cool, cool. So we'll talk about that with the Legacy Open because I do want to shout out to the person who was playing it 5-0. In the European tour. Okay. Fourth place, Draclaudium's. Is this Claudio's alt account? Rakdo Sacrifice. Third place, Lego Hog Rider on Is It Drake? Second place, Jabberwocky, and we haven't seen in quite a while on Rakdo Sac. And first place, Resenza on Five Color Fires. And then over on Sunday, eighth place, you have Combo Man on Boros Convoke. Seventh place, you have Manic Engineer on Esper Control. No, we're just on the... Oh, it's the Discontinuity deck. What's the black for? One Thought Disruption in the sideboard. Okay, cool. Get it together, Goldfish. MWRGLC on Team of Creativity. Integral HDK on Rakdos Midrange. Claudio on Azorius Control. The Manland on Lotus Field. Pepsi on Nykthos Ramp, and Jabberwocky bring it down with Rakdos Sacrifice. So let's talk about Drake's.
I don't like it.
You don't like it. So Is It Drake's? Here we have 4 Legend Shredder, 4 Crackling Drake, 4 Consider, 1 Fading Hope, 4 Fiery Impulse, 4 Opt, 4 Spell Pierce, 2 Spikefield Hazard, 2 Strangle, 2 Blitz of the Thunder Raptor, 1 Fires of Victory, 1 Roast, 4 Treasure Cruise, 4 Failed Mirror Breaker, Turns out Power Word Kill can't kill Kraken Drake.
What? It can.
It can't? I thought Power Word Kill can't kill dragons.
It can't kill dragons, but Crackling Drake is a drake.
It's a drake. Never mind. I'm stupid. Anyway, I was like, carry on.
What's going on? Where's the Kool-Aid?
Ricky, break it down for us.
This deck is, at the end of the day, playing blue and red cards, which I think are very good right now. Mm-hmm. Just being able to play Fiery Impulse, unbelievably good card. This list is a lot more removal heavy than other lists. Playing Blitz of the Thunder Raptor and Fire's Victory, Roast main deck. It doesn't play any amount of everybody's favorite Mathematical Quandary pieces of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's playing Fable of the Mirror Breaker, which turns out to be a pretty good card.
You want to clone some Crackling Drakes?
Crackling Drake is a blue-blue-red-red star 4 flyer with ETB draw a card and power equal to the number of instant sorceries you own in exile and in your graveyard. It's a good card. Crackling Drake is a good card. It dies to removal, which is fine.
Including Power Kills, I'm just finding out.
Yeah. My problem with this kind of build of the deck, like, it might take... Like, it'll be good in a format where people are not playing removal.
Sure.
Like, when you are trying to slide by with, like, eight threats and 2 manlands as your ways to win the game,
mm-hmm.
it's a little hard when a lot of your threats can just die.
Yeah.
That's the thing with, like, Phoenix, is that Phoenix can keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. Or at least just try to, like, go and kill your opponent all in one turn. But when you're playing Ledger Shredder, which dies to Fatal Push, and Crackling Drake, which also dies to Fatal Push, with a little extra oomph in it, you know?
Well, I mean, there's no one has interacted this far anymore. Like, I don't know if you know this, but there's no interactions. According to Modern Players, there's no interaction. And also, playing Pioneer almost put Rakdos Midrange into the B tier, which means the deck is unplayable garbage.
I agree. I agree. And, you know, the meta could have been right. Once again, I always think that Pioneer, and I say it every week, people, Pioneer is a deck where you can really leverage your play skill and your knowledge.
Football is a sport.
You know, you can take your knowledge of the format, and you can take your play skill with your deck, and you can just leverage it into wins. You might be working harder for those wins than other people.
Especially if you're playing Rogues.
Especially if you're playing Rogues. Especially if you're playing, is it Phoenix, right? But at the end of the day, you can play Crackling Drake over your Phoenix. You can play your Ledger Shredders and just play 20 million ways to make sure that Shieldred is dead on site, and you'll be good, you know?
Yeah. In defense of the Drake stick, it's not the first Drake that usually kills them. It is if they're not playing interaction. It is the second or third one where it's a 24, right? 20 gets 20 power with flying not too difficultly. Wait. Is that a word, Ruckman?
Difficulty?
With how about, yes. how about without much difficulty? How about
without
that?
Without great difficulty? About,
yeah. Without great difficulty comes great responsibility. That's what Uncle Ben said. So I think that, you know, hey, when we're talking about the Drakes, that's what gets you is, you know, one time they don't have the removal spell, or they waste it on Ledger Shredders and the first Drake, the second or third one will kill you when it gets to insane amounts of power.
3 Maze Mind Tome in the sideboard. Kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I've seen Maze Mind Tome. I miss it. I don't think it's a bad card. It's just a card that has slipped my memory. It's been so long.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Reckoner Bank Buster, but it gains you life instead of being a relevant card on the board.
Yeah.
I call him as I see him.
All right. Well, all I know is keep this deck away from Millie Bobby Brown. And moving on to the Legacy European Open Championship Athens, our top 8, we have Tin Mahal Kapar on Blood Control, Lorenzo Terlizzi on Rakdos Sacrifice, Christoph Larsson on Rakdos Sacrifice, Miguel Simoes on Monogreen Devotion, third, fourth place, Martos on Rakdos Midrange, Niles Gutierrez Van Porat on Arc Light Phoenix, and then we have Prismalslaw Olzlet. You guys smell toast?
This is where you got to say that you made sense of this one, but that's a French ass name, Yvonne. You know, that's where you just gotta, that's where you gotta throw it out there.
Also whiskey. Also whiskey on Azorius Spirits. Spirit aggro. What is this? This is, why do they call it Spirit aggro? What is
it's aggressive.
Get the ghost going. The ghost of Spiro Agnew. Frederico Vuono on Boros Convoke, taking it down. So obviously the first deck we want to talk about here is the Izzet Phoenix build here, played by Nils Gutierrez von Port. Ricky, why don't you talk about this deck?
This is a deck. Let me tell you. We got four Arclight Phoenix, and I'll skip I'll save this one for last. Four Pieces of the Puzzle, four Treasure Cruise, four Consider, Fiery Impulse, Lightning Axe, Opt, and then we're on four Izzet Charm and four Otherworldly Gaze, which is bold, and I like it.
Stop.
Only one Spikefield Hazard and 19 lands here. Man, Otherworldly Gaze, we have a lot more to play with in our graveyard this game than in most other Phoenix games.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing for Demi Lich.
Yeah. Which for is the people who never had syrup sandwiches.
Read us Demi Lich.
Yeah.
Blue, so it will turn on your Thassa. For a 4/3 skeleton wizard that costs blue less to cast.
Looking like a SoundCloud rapper.
For each instant or sorcery spell you've cast this turn. When it attacks, exile one instant or sorcery card from your graveyard. Copy it. You may cast the copy. You have to pay for the copy.
That's all it does, right?
And then you may cast it from your graveyard by exiling four instant and or sorcery cards from your graveyard in addition to paying its other costs.
Yep.
Ooh,
that's
boy.
How you know this card was printed after 2019. Is the it's got 150 words on it. That's still it's like
so this card can like, cost no mana from our graveyard.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it lets us snap cast things treasure like cruise. Yeah, treasure cruise, pieces of the puzzle, anything like that to keep our yard big and healthy and strong. You know.
Yep. Everything a growing graveyard needs, you know?
Demi Liches went from bulk to being sold everywhere in one top eight.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
This is spicy. I remember seeing this card and telling you all that it was terrible. I was right. However, okay. I'm now wrong.
Okay.
At the time.
At the time, correct.
Things and
now, incorrect. Let's
go back and see what we all had to say about this card, yeah. You know?
Since then, Ricky's grown a little beard as to show that time has passed.
Yeah, you know? I stared out the window in a long sweeping shot, and you could see the four seasons pass as Edward doesn't age.
Stand next to Teferi and stare at the sum of them for a second, and then just, like, it hurt too much after a while.
This deck is all in on the graveyard. This deck is like, there's no graveyard hate printed in Pioneer. It's like, it doesn't exist. You just don't even think about it. Leyline of the Void, what's that? Never heard of her. Right?
It's going to get counterspelled.
What do you think about young PZ here over you Giant? Know,
I love that they're playing young Pyromancer and Cinderclasm in the same deck. I love the synergy. But they top aided the RC and not me. So
yeah,
personally, I think this is proof that nature is healing and that Rakdos players are going underground for hibernation.
Yeah.
To play Rakdos with Lord of the Rings.
Hibernation for those anyway.
You really want some planeswalkers against.
So we're going to need a new meme now about how, because Rakdos has won, or Phoenix has won. I didn't win, but you know, it's doing big things.
It's winning.
That's right.
Phoenix watch, turn on the lights.
Turn on the lights. Whoop, whoop. Boros Convoke actually winning. Also, how did you let this one slip through?
The deck is good. I've been playing it, and it's so much fun, and it's so aggressive. And you just attack.
I would hope it's aggressive.
It does lose to the stupidest cards, but if nobody actually is gonna like play those stupid cards, you just get like so many free wins.
Sure.
It's got a rough, like, spirits matchup.
Yeah.
But it's got, it's also got rough Greasefang matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Really, any deck that wants to play temporary lockdown, you've got a bad matchup against.
Yeah.
But, like, against Rakdos, against, like, all the other aggro decks, the inferior aggro decks right now.
Yeah, how's your Hitsu consumes all matchup?
That's not a real card. You keep saying words, and you think that they're magic cards, but I've never seen that card printed.
I know you know what Path to Peril is.
I do know what Path to Peril is. And it doesn't kill Reckless Bushwhacker.
It doesn't.
Or Knight Errant of Eos.
This is very true.
But this deck, essentially, I'll tell you that, like, if you could glue Gleeful Demolition to your opening hand,
yeah,
you're winning, like, 50% of your games just on the Gleeful Demolition.
Yeah.
That card's so insane in this format.
Boros Convoke winning this event is just the embodiment of Garage 56 and Hendrix Motorsports racing at the 24 Hours of Le Mans. USA! USA! Eagle Sounds! Eagle Sounds! Eagle Sounds!
Is that the Ferrari Ford movie?
No, it's the... We set NASCAR to the Le Mans last weekend.
Oh, did we?
Do you not know about this?
Do you think I know about NASCAR?
Look, NASCAR hasn't been to France since Dale Earnhardt in number 3 stormed the beaches of Normandy. And that's a historic fact.
NASCAR hasn't been important to me since they took out the loop.
Okay, Hot Wheels, man.
Yeah. There was a NASCAR cartoon.
There was, yeah.
And they raced around in loops and stuff.
Yeah.
Called Speed Racer.
No.
Hey, what do you guys do this weekend? We can watch Speed Racer this weekend.
No, I'm busy.
Oh, it's fine. That's right.
My band's all right. Sick.
All right, well, we're watching Speed Racer soon. We're watching Speed Racer this month.
All right.
It's got to happen for the people.
I guess I'm qualified. I got nothing else to do on the weekends.
All right, let's anything else here, at least in the top 8 you want to talk about? I mean, double Rakdos sacrifice, you love to see it. I shouldn't listen to you guys have gotten off sack in the first place. Like, look at this. Like, I pick a mono white and spirits and sacrifice just going crazy. You guys make me play the wrong decks.
Yo, also Azorius Control made top 8. Might as well buy that deck again.
Well, isn't that the Lotus Field one or no?
Is this the Lotus Field one? It plays Rewind 2 of.
It's not the Lotus Field one. It's just regular.
Oh, it's not? Wow.
Chris, sign up now.
I had for our upcoming budget deck list, I had some blue-green builds and some blue-black builds, and then went with a totally, you know, Kurt Angle game in the mix. You know what I'm saying?
You really swerved on the patrons. You're like, which one should I do? And then you sent me this deck list. I'm like, that is neither of the deck
lists. I got one response from Servo Token, and then I was looking through some cards, and I was like, all right, this is what we're doing. So,
all right.
Yeah. Rewind was heavily featured in that blue-green flash deck, though. I'll tell you that much.
I'm sure it was.
Got a lot of cards that cost 4.
All right. Well, look, Demi Lich isn't the only thing to come out of Europe. Unfortunately, they finished in 19th place, but one Mark Tobias was killing it. With a big, I think they had a 9-0. Was it a 5-0 or a 9-0 start with Storm Herald?
Yep. This deck is real life.
Yeah, so we got 4 Storm Herald, 4 Field of Mirror Breaker, 4 Seder Wayfinder, 3 Legend Shredder, 3 Scrapwork Mutt, 3 Merfolk Seeker Keeper, 4 Gathering of the Pack, 4 Fortress of Uvenwald, 4 Otherworldly Gaze, 4 Classification, 4 Burning Anger. I feel like that was traditionally, Storm Herald's traditionally been what, like Boros?
So, I don't, this deck has not been traditionally anything, right?
Traditionally
garbage.
On FTGO, there was like a Boros build because they were playing like open the vaults to go find the auras and stuff like that, I believe.
Sure.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Anybody will play anything in the leagues, you know?
Yeah.
This is a good deck though.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what this deck does, Ricky?
So you get Colossification and Burning Anger in the graveyard, and then if you play Storm Herald and have any 2 other creatures out, your opponent loses the game immediately. You don't need 2 other creatures out, but just the way this combo works, I don't know if you know this, but we don't actually target with Storm Herald at any point in this combo.
No.
Which means that if you have 3 creatures in play, and you play Storm Herald, and your opponent goes, I'm going to kill the Storm Herald. You can just put these enchantments on any of your other non-summon sick creatures, like the stupid merfolk that you sat there on, like, turn two, right?
Sure.
And kill them with that. With Colossification and Burning Anger both being attached at the same time, you'll trigger the Colossification, and in response, you will tap with Burning Anger and deal 20-plus damage to your opponent's face. And
generally, that's enough to win.
Yeah.
Unless your opponent's playing Angels.
Yeah, unless your opponent is playing Angels, which is impossible because I'm pretty sure Seto Kaiba ripped Resplendent Angels till there's only 8 of them left in the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, so...
Chris has one of them, so be on the lookout.
Yeah, exactly, right? Weevil Underwood through Resplendent Angel and Youthful Valkyrie off of the SS Coolest Kingdom.
Can we get a Resplendent Angel reprint, please?
Does it help Pioneer? Then no.
Oh.
It helps. Says their deck contains 61 cards. Do you think that's real?
Well, let's look.
Yeah, I do.
I can't count, so I'm going to need you guys to.
All right, 20
lands, 4 Otherworldly Gaze, 24. Yeah, they do play 61 cards.
We're on the 61 card special. I already like it. Good job, Mark. Mark's the
champion over here.
Mark's a person after my own heart, that's for sure.
That's right.
You're going to mill so many cards with Otherworldly Gaze, right? So it's fine.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You're basically mill-proof playing that 61st one. You know what I'm saying? You're never going to mill yourself.
Board is. Never going to happen. Board of the sideboard cards. All right. Well, again, Europe, like I said, revitalized our faith in how just open Magic is.
Agreed. So, thank you, Europeans.
And with the talk of mill, I think we should let Ricky present first. It is
my salute to the European.
Oh, that's right. It's not Mill, right? It's just the deck list is the deck is named differently.
Yeah, I started by just filling this deck with like Ruined Crab and like all of the new Capenna lands.
Okay.
And I was like, this is awful.
Uh-huh.
And then I built something else, but it makes you name the deck first, which is frustrating when you're brewing.
Yeah.
And then I renamed it to Budget Defender Combo.
But the webpage had already been locked in.
The webpage was like, no, this is still Budget Mill.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Budget Mill. It's technically not wrong. That's how you win the game. But what we're playing here for the grand total price of... Hold on, it locked onto Card Kingdom.
$6 and a ham sandwich.
$121.89, giving you plenty of extra money of your $150 budget, right?
Yeah.
And you can trim this down to an even $100 deck, right? We're playing 4 copies of Axebane Guardian.
Obviously.
It's the most important card in the deck. It's a 3-mana 0/3.
And in the Grew 3 Progression series.
It taps for X mana in any combination of colors, which is important, where X is the number of creatures with Defender you control. For Coral Colony, a defender that lets you mill somebody equal to the number of defenders.
You're going to have to read every single one of these cards.
Is it better or worse Coral than Colony, Doorkeeper?
Coral Colony is a 1/4, and Doorkeeper, I think, is a 0/4.
Okay.
And Doorkeeper costs 3 mana to activate.
Sure.
Gate
they power crept Doorkeeper, huh?
Yeah. Gatekeeper Vine is a 2-mana 0/2 defender that lets us search our library for a basic land or a gate card. So we are playing 2 gates just because... you can fetch them with the Gatekeeper Vine.
You've got 2 gates. One for Plug.
And one for the low. 3 Larder Zombie. A 1/3 defender lets us tap 3 creatures to surveil 1. Helps us find our combo. 3 Ceruli Caretaker, which is a 0/3 defender for 1 that taps and tap an untapped creature we control to add 1 mana of any color. So that helps us kind of expedite where we're going with this deck.
Okay.
2 copies of Shield Wall Sentinel. A 4-mana 1/3 defender that lets us tutor our deck for any card with defender, put it in our hand. 4 Sylvan Caryatid. A little expensive, but you know, this is a good card to have 4 of, and it will build you into a lot of the 5-color nonsense decks later. 0/3 defender, hexproof, taps for any color of mana. 2 Wall of Mulch, which is a 2-drop wall that can pay green to sack a wall to draw a card. And then 2 Wingmantle Chaplain, a 4-mana 0/3 defender. When it comes into play, we make a 1/1 flyer for every defender we control, and then whenever a defender enters the battlefield, we make another bird.
Okay.
The combo piece, of course, is High Alert. an enchantment that says each creature you control assigns its combat damage with toughness, and creatures you control can attack as if they don't have defender. We can beat down, but let's not. Instead, we have an ability here for 4 mana. We can untap target creature. So with an Axebane Guardian that makes 5 mana, we can make infinite mana. With that infinite mana, we can then draw a bunch of cards, or we could specifically, hopefully, just activate Coral Colony and keep on tapping it to activate it until they are dead.
Okay.
Then we have 4 Court of Calling, which is also a nice card that sees some Pioneer play, but it lets us tap all of our walls at end of turn to go tutor up a combo piece or something to help us keep the plan moving. And 2 copies of Slaughter the Strong, which is a very fun card in this deck. I thought about Dawn to Dusk also works in this slot, kind of the same price point. But Slaughter the Strong says each player chooses any number of creatures they control with total power 4 or less, and then sacrifices the other creatures they control.
Well, you got to be careful with these Shield Wall Sentinels and these Coral Colonies then.
I mean, they've got 1 power, so we'll be fine. This will one-sided board wipe for 3 mana. Well, not board wipe, because they'll keep their 1 creature.
Yeah.
It Looks does not do good. Anything against Hihijihi and the token, which, oops, just, you know, oops. And then we've got a pretty decent mana base with a lot of the fast lands, and then a couple of the slow lands, 2 Spars Headquarters, 23 total lands here, most of which see a decent amount of play, like your 3 Botanical Sanctums. You're going to have the Seachrome Coasts, the Razor Verge Thickets, Overgrown Farmlands, Spars Headquarters, as I said, for when you want to play the 5 color nonsense next.
Okay, cool.
So that's what I built. I wanted to really, I think there are better decks you can build for 150, but this felt like the most like brewing and attacking from a very weird angle.
Uh-huh. Also, all your money's in the lands. So like you can get these lands, build the rest of the deck for super cheap, and then move on as you want to do more stuff. So yeah. I love the creativity for, hey, look, you're spending all your money in the lands here. The rest of these cards, it's a matter of finding them, right? Sylvan Caryatid, I think, is what, a couple bucks? Right.
The place is about $20.
Place is about $20, but there's plenty of places you can play that card. That card's good in a lot of mid range strategies, a lot of things like that. Otherwise, the rest of this deck, I mean, Court of Calling is down to a couple bucks again, right?
Yeah, it's like $5. Yeah,
$5. Yeah, because this card's been reprinted into the ground, so you can get $5-6 on TCG Player. And again, you'll play that in other formats if you want. It's good in EDH. It's good in a lot of things, right? So, I really, really like the ability to just go, and people are gonna have no idea what you're doing, you know.
All right, well,
you're going to play a bunch of weird wall creatures. Your opponent's going to be very confused. And if you can
get a lot of redundancy, a lot of tutoring.
Rick, you see this one in the Gate Guardian.
Yep.
All right. Well, if you want to see another deck that is truly inspired and attacks the format from a different angle that no one has ever seen before, I think we should talk about my deck list.
Okay.
All right. So hear me out here. We're going to start off with 4 copies of Blood Tithe Harvester.
What is your Classic. Current? What is the cost of this entire deck, please?
$149.79. So that's we're starting
not enough money for a cheesy roll up from Taco Bell afterwards.
I don't have money for chicken nuggets. All right, so we're starting with 4 copies of Blood Tithe Harvester. Now come with me on this journey. Then we're gonna get 4 copies of Bone Crusher Giant.
Ruckman, right. I told you, you can't build a meta deck.
4 copies of Fable of the Mirror Breaker. Hold on now, right? Format wide open. 4 copies of Fatal Push.
What percentage of the cost of our deck was Fable of the Mirror Breaker, Ruckman?
Half of our deck.
60%, right? Yeah.
60%. All right. So, jokes aside, I built Rakdos Giants. Okay. So, look, we do get to play Fable of the Mirror Breaker, Blood Tithe Harvester, Bone Crusher Giant, right?
Right.
The rest of our deck is 4 copies of Calamity Bearer. For 2 red, we get a 3/4 Giant Berserker. And if a giant source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals double that damage to that permanent or player instead.
This does not mean oversized cards.
Why is it Calamity Bearer a bear? That's what I want to know.
This deck came about because, I don't know if you know this, but Kroxa is like $3 now. So we're going to play 3 copies of Kroxa. And Kroxa's ability, if our opponent discards a land, they're taking six.
Cute.
They were playing four copies of Quakebringer. Quakebringer 3 red for a 5/4. Your opponents can't gain life. So I'm coming for those angel players. Those
angel players won't know what hit them.
Yeah. At the beginning of your upkeep, Quakebringer deals 2 damage to each opponent. This ability triggers only if Quakebringer is on the battlefield or if Quakebringer is in your graveyard and you control a giant. And he foretells for 2 red. So we have to make use of Fable and Bloodtithe Harvester to dump Quakebringers into our yard if we can't cast them. And then we're going to play 3 copies of Tectonic Giant, 2 red for a 3/4. And where Tectonic Giant attacks becomes the target of a spell an opponent controls. Choose one. Tectonic Giant deals 3 damage to each opponent, or exile the top 2 cards of your library. Choose one of them to underturn your next turn. You may play that card.
Next
turn. This card also insane with Calamity Baron play because he's just 6ing your opponents when he attacks.
Yep.
So then we're also going to, like I said, round the spells with 3 Go for the Throat, 4 Fatal Push, 2 Collective Brutality. So you have a little bit of extra ways to kind of get Quakebringers into our yard.
Well, I just play Thoughtseize, Rookman.
Well, we couldn't afford Thoughtseize.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The mana base is pretty junk, but I'm going to be honest. I almost just put the entire Rakdos mana base in here, and I was just going to say, you already own it anyway because you play Pioneer. Our mana base...
Judge Chris wasn't having it.
Yeah.
Judge Chris slams the gavel down.
Our mana base is 2 Blackcleave Cliffs, 4 Blightstep Pathway, 4 Canyon Slip... 1 Den of the Bugbear, 1 Hive of the Eye Tyrant, 7 Mounds, 6 Swamps, 1 Takanuma Abandoned Mire. I've messed around with... Hold on. Do I have an extra card here? Wait, what?
26 lands.
61 cards.
I have 61 cards. I don't know.
Cut a Fable of Mirrorbreaker. Get this deck really into budget.
No. We'll cut like a Go for the Throat or Fatal Push, probably. I would cut like a Fatal Push.
Sure.
You're still going to play 26 lands?
Huh?
Yeah, you can discard them with...
I have an extra land. That's what it was. I meant to play 25 lands. There should be 5 Swamps, 7 Mountains.
Sounds good.
You
should cut the 4 Canyon Slaw and buy the other 2 Blackcleave Cliffs instead.
We need stuff to fill our yard for the boat to bring back Kroxa.
Oh, okay. All right. That's cute.
Yeah, right? It was better than playing like Foreboding Ruins, and Haunted Ridge is like $1 million right now.
Yeah, are $1 million.
But like, so I've actually messed around with Giants a little bit previously on the streams and stuff like that. Obviously, I haven't played it in quite a while, but when we were messing around with it, like I thought Quakebringer was going to be the thing, but Calamity Bear plus Tech Giant, just 6ing your opponent, just puts away games so fast. And then, yeah, now that Crox is like $3, Calamity Bear doubling that damage too is also pretty funny.
This All is right, well, a sweet deck, if not cutting it close.
You've heard about 26 lands, 61 cards, Giants, right?
Yeah.
My professional co-casters here. One who can't count. The other one wants you to play Wall Mills.
Yeah, all right. This deck is sick. Don't hate.
Hold on.
So many birds.
I'm sorry. Ricky's like, your mana base can kind of build you another deck. I give you half of Rakdos midrange here for $151 budget.
The most expensive half. That's true. Yeah. The other half, you'll just need to sell your Mini Cooper in order to also buy to get those Shieldreds, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're trying to sell you walls and midrange. I'm going to sell you Merfolk and Merfolk accessories. Okay.
I think that is the cheapest.
It might be because you're
by $9.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's just talk about my deck. Let's just talk about what that $9 gets you. Okay. Let's just go into it. Right. Let's start off with the creatures, right? We're Merfolk and Merfolk accessories. We're going to play 4 Deeproot Elite. This is the 1 colorless, 1 green for a 1/1. Whenever for another Merfolk enters a battle for your control, put a +1/+1 counter on target Merfolk you control. That's any one, but doesn't trigger off necessarily itself. If you play another one, though, it'll see that, right? We've got 3 Jungle Born Pioneer. This is a 3-mana 2/2. When it comes into play, you make a 1/1 Merfolk token. 3 Kumena, Tyrant of Oraska. That's a 3-mana 2/4. It's 1 green and blue. You can tap another untapped Merfolk to give it unblockable. Tap 3 untapped Merfolk to draw a card, or 5 to put +1/+1 counters on everything. 4 Merfolk Mistbinder as our Lord effect. It's a green and a blue. 2/2 other Merfolk at +1/+1. 3 Merfolk Trickster. That's the double blue flash. It's going to blank a creature when it comes into play and tap it. 4 Merfolk Windrobber. This is from our rogue friends. It's got a cost of blue. It's a 1/1 flying. And when it deals combat damage, they mill a card. You can sack it to draw as long as they have 8 or more. Yep, 8 or more cards. 4 Silvergill Adept. Most people forgot this card was legal in this format. This card is played in every Merfolk deck in every format that it is legal. This card drawing you cards is insanely good. This is the reason I think you would want to play this deck. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this deck is better than Spirits, but I don't think it's like a million times worse. Silvergill Adept is a very, very strong card. We're going to move on to 3 Swift Warden, colorless double green for 3/3. It's got flash, and it gives a Merfolk Hexproof. And then, of course, our newest Lord friend, Vedalken Hexcatcher, 2 mana for a 1/1 flash. Other Merfolk get +1/+1. You can sack a Merfolk to counter target non-creature spell unless its opponent pays 1.
So it turns all your
activate however many times.
Turns all your Merfolk into a Curse Catcher, right?
It sure does. It makes Curse Catchers. Then, because we're already playing green, we get to play 4 Collected Company. You can cheapen the curve of this deck, right? I upped it a little bit to get better Collected Company hits, which is why we're playing things like the Pioneer. That also makes tokens to sack off to our Hex Catcher. So you do want kind of some any amount of like token making is good. But you know, you're happy enough just to sack off some number of creatures because you've got your Collected Companies. You've got the ability to draw cards with either replacing them off of your Windrobber.
This deck has worse rattle chains in it. That's pretty dope.
It does have worse rattle chains in it. But it has better Collected Company because you can actually cast that card. Then we've got 2 of the cute one here. It's got 2 Displace. 2 Displace. This card, Ricky's listen. This card's fine. We 2 colorless.
It's fine.
We exile two creatures. Control.
It's not good.
It's fine. And then returns them to the battlefield under the owner's control. We've got a lot of end of the battlefield triggers here, right? We've got
Deep Root. Are they good ones?
Yeah.
They are good ones. We've got Deep Root Elite, Jungleborn Pioneer, Merfolk Trickster, Silvergill Adept to draw a card, Swift Warden to give Hexproof. So you've got a lot of end of the battlefield triggers, and then even coincidental ones will trigger your Deep Root Elite. There's reason to play this. You can also play Essence Flux. I just didn't want Ruckman to make fun of me. That card gives +1/+1 counters to spirits. We're playing, you know, decidedly not spirits here. So in protest of Ruckman, we're playing Displace. I think you can play Essence Flux. It's fine because it's a 1-mana card. But, you know, again,
Slip Out the Back.
You can play Slip Out the Black.
That doesn't give you
sure. Enter Battlefield because it phases out.
But it costs 1 mana versus 3.
You're not wrong. We've got plenty of creatures here. This is kind of a blowout phase, right? You're either playing the Displace in order to like, hey, I don't want to flood the board too much, so I'm going to, you know, get my triggers back or whatever you're trying to do. And then you've got a 2 of Spell Pierce. Ricky, what were your comments?
Why are we not playing Kumena's Speaker?
Which one? What does that
like
one do?
The 1-mana 1/1 that gets +1/+2 if you control an island or a Merfolk.
It's the crit. It's not a crit. It's not +1/+2. It's +1/+1. We were playing it. Cuts had to be made. We needed to fit this 2 Displace in there. We had to put the Displace in there.
I want you to hover over the art of Displace. Do you see that the person in the background in the middle there? That's Chris.
You can't see my screen.
As you can see, me and Ruckman are in the jars in terror.
Which one of you is the rat? Which one of you is the bird? That's what I want to know.
Well,
I'm clearly the bird.
Yeah.
No, I think this deck is fun. I absolutely think this deck could do something at like an FNM level thing. So you've got 2 lords, right? They cost 2 mana. You've got another kind of lord in Kumena. That also lets you, again, draw lots of cards. You've got plenty of card advantage here. We get a good mana base with this deck. We get a Singleton Bark Channel Pathway. That was our 20th land. 3 Botanical Sanctum. A Forest and Island. 2 Mutavaults. An Odawara. 4 Yamivaya Coast. 4 Unclaimed Territory. 3 Secluded Courtyard. Because Secluded Courtyard is the more expensive one. So, you know, I only think you want 7 effects. You still want blue to be able to cast your Displaces and your Spell Pierces. And then, you know, you need green by turn four, which should not be very difficult. Most of your sources
are worried about 20 lands here. Those two displaced should be two more lands.
You might need to play 22 lands, right? We're on a 20 land deck. We're drawing a lot of cards. Okay. The land base could be greedy. I think the first card you cut are actually the Spell Pierce. I think on turns one through three, you're pretty firmly playing cards. And so I think your first cut to the Spell Pierce out of this for two more lands if you need to.
Sure.
But again, you've got four Silvergill Adept. You've got ways to draw cards. So, I mean, I am not afeared, but if you need more lands, right, go for it. You know, we do hope to get to four, but we do have some cantrips here to help us get there and ways to blink them to get them back. Again, you can draw cards off your Kamena. You've got a lot of interactions here, right? And whether or not you play Displace, whether or not you play Essence Flux, Enters the Battlefield abilities are aplenty in this deck, and you have ways to take advantage of them. Displace is cute getting two of them. That gives you either a lot of counters. Deep Root Elite goes off. If you guys haven't played against this card, I have lost to this card where it was just like, oh, like three turns later, you know, double Deep Root Elite plus a couple creatures is a lot of counters, you know?
Well, look, Chris, you definitely thought I was going to like poo-poo on this deck, but I'm talking about this often, but many moons ago,
yeah,
before I was playing Spirits, before I was playing Humans, I was playing Modern Merfolk, so I'm in.
There we go. This deck was for Maximilian Pegasus, one of our BFFs up there in Philadelphia, going through it with the whatever's going on, the smoke and wildfires nonsense up there. So really, this was to make Max proud. But again, you get a sick mana base, right? You get some Mutavaults, you get some Odoras, all for, I think, 130 was our price, 140 was our price shipped, something like that.
130.85.
You get so we're not stacking on mana base here. We get a sick mana base. We get all the important creatures we want. Lots of rares that are real cheap and collected companies. So
on the way home from FNM, you can feed your family of four at KFC with the $20.
That's exactly
right. Right.
That's exactly right. You can get a biggie bag.
Can't buy that with my deck.
No biggie bags.
You can get a gumball.
Maybe. In this economy?
Yeah, that's 50 cents. We're not going to cover it, but Ricky, I'm also going to include in the description, Ricky also did go through and for $143.95 built a really sweet mono green like bead down deck that also includes two Nykthos and one Besageu at that price. So nice. Very, very impressive.
That was a competitive deck, but I feel like we've seen it before and it wasn't brewing. It was kind of like, this is what to do when you're waiting for your next paycheck to buy the rest of mono green, right?
Sure.
So, you know.
You guys brought great decks. They weren't as inspired as mine. 100% purely original deck list.
Yeah, definitely.
I believe that I have, I don't know, Chris is kind of out there. That's for sure. But I think I have definitely the wildest one.
You have the wildest one.
I always like this deck idea. For Arcady Sabbath. That's why there's like a gap in my budget here.
Oh,
Sabbath in this deck, but like I just didn't want to cut the cords for him or the slaughters, so like we couldn't fit a two of Arcady Sabbath in this deck.
Sure,
it was close. I think it might need two Arcady Sabbath. I just don't know what to make the cuts for.
Yeah, all right. Well, not only like I said, do we have our own deck lists. I did open up to the patrons, so another reason we'll talk about later on. Why should join the patrons? Sometimes we do stuff like this where I have the challenge to our patrons. And they sent us in some deck lists as well. This first deck list comes from Icewater, who sent in You Like Dragons. This deck list is 3 Glorybringer, 4 Goldspan Dragon. Hold on, I'm trying to open it. Tell people
about Goldspan Dragon.
What?
I need that card to go down in price more so I could buy it. That card is insane.
That card has always been insane.
Yeah, but it's like $10 now. Chris,
yeah, it's $10 and going down, yeah.
All right, so 3 Glorybringer, 4 Goldspan Dragon, 2 Imrith Desert Doom, 2 Lathless Dragon Queen, and I like that it has given us the extra life version of Lathless.
Drawing? Oh, no.
3 Sarkhan Soul of Flame, 3 Shiva Devastator, 4 Sprite Dragon, 1 Dive Down, 3 Azure Charm, 4 Lightning Strike, 4 Shock, 2 Spell Pierce, 3 Unsummon, 23 lands. Did we really get 3 Steam Vents?
How did we afford 3 Steam Vents? Because they're $15 on TCG Player?
Huh.
Wild.
This is a wild mana base. Because
Goldspan Dragon's only $10, and the rest of your deck's really cheap.
I guess we don't have Spire Bluffs. Those are expensive.
Yeah, right.
Okay, all right. Well, this is all for $143.25. This is sweet.
I mean, we did have to skimp and play Unsummon over Fading Hope.
True. Which is
strictly better than Unsummon. But I don't think the budget would allow it. That card's like $3.
Yeah.
I like this list. I wish we could have played like...
What's the lightning one? The four mana...
Like Lightning Strike, but it also deals 3 damage to face if you have a dragon.
Yeah.
Or the counterspell, right?
Thundering Roar, right?
Thundering Roar. Yeah.
Sworn. Like, if we could have played those dragon spells also, right?
Yeah. And then again, what's the, like, 4 mana if you target a dragon, it deals, like, 2?
The Regent. Thunderbird.
Yeah, Thunderbird Regent, yeah.
Probably would be better than Sprite Dragon.
Yeah.
Man, Sprite Dragon's like one of the cards I don't want to cut. And I like Shivan Devastator here. I like the Ricky, you know?
The flavor text on Lathras is too good to cut.
You saw you go, ah.
I mean, that's cute. That gives you that's a lot of Durgans you're getting there, you know?
Imrith is so cheap now.
Yeah. I remember I opened like the altar Imrith and like flipped it for like $30, like on the spot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gold Spray Dragon. I'm a little surprised. Well, you know what? Budget. That's right. I think if you put on this, if you wanted to play this deck for real, you would play Fable the Mirror Breaker.
Sure. But we had 150 to go with.
No. You're right. But I'm just saying, Sprite Dragon is non-creature spell.
Half of our budget away.
No. You're right. I'm just saying, like, getting to that 5 seems real, real important, and like that's a way to try and help you get there. You know.
Our next deck list comes from Fastgrim with mostly blue monster. Which flavor is the blue monster?
Oh, man.
Which flavor is the blue monster?
They're all acid flavored, man. I cannot tell you what they taste like. All
right, so this is coming in at $89. We have 4 Invasion of Segovia, 2 Coma Cosmos Serpent, 4 Nadir Kraken, 3 Thing in the Ice, 2 Displacement Wave, 4 Whelming Wave, 2 Consider, 4 Fading Hope, 4 Growth Spiral, 4 Make Disappear, 3 Unsubstantiate, 4 Bark Channel Pathway, 4 Dream Root Cascade, 4 Handling Harbor, 12 Islands.
Great job. First of all, great job reminding people that Whelming Wave is a card.
Yeah.
Right? This card's really good. Second of all, we've got a lot of synergy here where our Make Disappear can sack off 1, either our terrible creatures, or 2, the tokens that we've made a various number of ways, right? Kraken makes us tokens. The Invasion makes us tokens. There's some cute stuff going on here. I get that we're trying to cast a 7-drop here. Do we need the Growth Spirals? I like Growth Spirals a lot in blue-green flash where, like, 4 is your starting curve.
We're trying to get to Coma, right?
Yeah. We're trying to get to Coma, which I understand, but it's a 2 of, you know?
Right.
You know what's really sad? Whelming Wave bounces our Kraken tentacles.
Does it?
Really sad is that I'm trying to stop this.
Oh, it's a tentacle creature.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, like, this deck is sick, except, Nadir Kraken, it makes specifically tentacle tokens, which will get bounced by our Whelming Wave.
Okay, we'll sack them off to a Make Disappear, you know?
However, the Invasion of Segovia.
Does make baby Krakens.
That makes Kraken tokens.
Baby Krakens. Mm-hmm.
I thought it gave our everything Convoke, but only gives our non-creature spells Convoke, which is less exciting.
Oh, yeah.
We can sack our tentacle tokens to Make Disappear, which is kind of awesome.
Yep.
All right, deck is sweet. Thank you, Fastgrim.
That is a good one. Thank you, Fastgrim.
All right, our next one is from Server Token. This is Sly. A little bit of boss Sly action here. Let's see here. How much we got? What are we coming in at? We are coming in at 1517. So our cheapest deck list here. Servo said, "Dinner's on me," to the car. You could almost buy Servo's deck with both of your decks.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure could.
All right, you get 4 Crone Crusader, 4 Dreadhorde Arcanist, 4 Monastery Swiss Spear, 4 Seer Hollow. Man, Dreadhorde Arcanist. I was talking earlier about, like, remember when Dreadhorde Arcanist saw playing this format? That was sweet.
It's a good card.
4 Ancestral Anger, 3 Light of the Stage, 4 Burning Sun's Fury, 3 Coordinated Assault, 2 Invigorated Rampage, 4 Play with Fire, 4 Titan Strength, 1 Cartouche of Zeal, 4 Hammer Hand, One Castle Embreath, 14 Mountains. 15 lands, huh?
That is baller.
This is, well, Servo is, Servo still the budget master?
Yeah.
This is as budget as it gets, right?
So budget we even cut on lands.
I feel like Servo's always had good deck lists.
Uh-huh.
But in the last, year and a half, there's some chef's kiss right here. These are some chef's kiss level decks, especially for the price you get. Like, I am impressed for this much money, what I consider the decks that you get. Like, Burning Cern's Fury, I haven't read that card before, right? And it gives us a lot of heroic triggers. Dreadhorde Arcanist casting stuff out of our yard. Like, we're getting real big real quick here.
Yeah, we still need, like, two lands to function. Is 15 enough?
We got Ancestral Anger. We got to light up the stage.
We're drawing cards. We're scrying. We're playing with fire, you know?
Right. Well, like, up Burning Sun's Fury has Convoke, so we're fine.
That's right. We don't need lands. We got creatures.
I've drawn three opening hands here, and I've got stuck for four turns on one land in all of them.
Wow.
My first hand had next three crash. Lands in it, so, you know.
Yeah.
Like the horse.
This one has two. One.
All right. Ruckman's a liar. We get it. What am I? A liar?
What am I? Hey, sick deck, Servo. Sick deck. All right. Let's move on. We don't got
it. Next one is from JC Garm, who gives us Brewer's Win by hand size. We have three Emery Lurk with the. Sorry. Because at 135 even.
135, baller. See,
I was actually thinking about this deck a lot.
So we have three Emery Lurker of the Law. So why don't you talk about it for us, Ricky?
Well, I did not think about Triska Decaphile as the way to win. This is sick. Three Emery Lurker of the Lock, affinity for artifacts, mills you four and can cast artifacts from your graveyard. Four Merchant's Dock hand lets you tap untapped artifacts. Look at the top X cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the rest of the bottom where X the number of artifacts you tapped. For Ornithopter, it's Ornithopter. Three Psy, Master Thopterist. Whenever you cast an artifact, you make a 1/1 Thopter. And sacrifice two artifacts to draw a card. Four Triska Decaphile, which is you have a maximum hand size at the beginning of your upkeep. If you have exactly 13 cards in your hand, you win the game. Then we have four Paradoxical Outcome. Return any number of permanents back to your hand and draw a card for every card you returned. Four Moonsnare Prototype, two Mox Amber, that's a majority of our budget right there. Mm-hmm. Four Springleaf Jump, four Tormod's Crypt, four Witching Well as random artifacts that we can tap for mana with Moonsnare Prototype. We can bounce back to our hand to draw cards with Paradoxical Outcome. And then four Darksteel Citadel, one Inventor's Fair, which is expensive, two Otwara, two Mysakinth Gardens, and two Treasure Vault with a Gigantha, because we can.
Baller.
This deck is hot. I like this deck.
We should just cut two Odawaras, and that would give us room, to, I think, to get a third Mox Amber.
We're $10 short.
35. Odawaras are like 10, right?
Yeah.
I think mine rang up for 13. That's why I was like, hey, minus $26.
Mox Amber's 32.
And then we're under 150, yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Cut to two Odawaras, replace them with some lands or something like islands or something like that, and then add in the third Mox Amber. I think this is a lot of fun. What do you guys think?
This is a combo deck.
Yeah.
This is dangerous. Our only way to win is Triska Decaphile. We don't have
any reservoir. Can deal with enchantments and Pioneer.
That's okay. A creature, but I hear you.
Yeah.
If they have a fatal push, they got us, but that's okay. We're going to draw multiple copies. We're going to draw multiple.
These dumb 13 cards being enchantments.
No, you know, I hear you. I mean, we're drawing a lot of cards with these.
God, I am just smelling all amounts of toast tonight.
That's okay.
Right. It's all right.
We don't have the Cheerio style stuff, unfortunately, to like
doctor.
To cycle, you know? That's the only thing that I'm like, "Ooh, you know, hey, but for a budget deck, right?"
Yeah.
You know, I think the cards is pretty good.
All right, our second last deck comes from Long Live Dale, who sends in, just says, doesn't slap submissions. So let's see what we got. Raise hail, praise Dale. we got blue-white Flyers. Okay. So we got two of the Wandering Emperor, one Cemetery Illuminator, two Empyrean Eagle, four Errant and Giada, four Fairy Mastermind, two Jubilant Skybonder, one Selfless Spirit, four Seraph Sky's Blade, four Siren Storm Tamer, four Spectral Sailor, four Spellquell, two Warden of Eos, two Winged Words, two Rally of the Wings. So we got kind of a spirits package here, and we're just playing some other good flyers. Like I said, like Seraph Skyblade. As we just play a big 7/7 Angel with flying and lifelink.
I like that card a lot. I think this card's real cool.
Jubilant Skybonder is really cool. Just creatures you control with flying have spells your opponents cast that target this creature costs two more to cast. So
what was that? What was that? It was a spirit back in the day, right? The Glass Spinner.
Kira's Great Glass Spinner.
Yeah.
That one says they become the target counter that ability.
Yeah, that's a ward ability. So this is actually better than ward because it would make like Rending Volley still cost three.
Right. Yeah.
Errant and Giada, of course, a card I really liked. Spoilers for the set. So this deck is super dope. I mean, we also get kind of a fun little flash sub theme. I was also thinking about building like blue green flash or blue black flash when Chris was talking about. So I kind of backed off. So. I think Flash is definitely a fun archetype to kind of look into if you're looking to build in a budget and Pioneers in general. You're like your Hal Pack Alphas are just so cheap right now. That's a card that sees like no play. What do you guys think? I mean, like Fairy Mastermind's pretty dope on a budget. What do you guys think?
I think Zek is pretty sick. Maybe like a little bit more two drops, one drops.
Sure.
For the Flyers, right? Mm-hmm. But I like this deck, and I would rather play more Rally of Wings and just cheese people out. Like, this card adds up really fast.
Yeah.
Like, you just have a bunch of flyers in play, and then they just die. And they
like, we can just, like, play Loft. Like, we have two Wandering Emperors. Like, maybe we
just make Wandering Emperors the worst card.
Yeah, I think we just make the mana base a little better, right? And maybe kind of up some of these other cards, and, like, we just play Lofties.
Lofties or, more Rallies or Winged Words or something. These are the cool payoff cards we want. So,
yeah. Can you play? What does Judge's Familiar do?
It's Curse Catcher.
Judge's Familiar should be played. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. I think we need a lower curve. Like all of our cards are three, and we're trying to do a Sephara. Like let's throw some Judge's Familiar in there again. Just one more one. I think in favor of like a three or something would be huge. Right now, it's just the Spectral Sailor. Siren Storm Tamer. Siren Storm Tamer.
Imagine this deck if Battle Screechers in the format.
Yeah. I got baited really hard though, because the card on the front of the deck is Hydroid Crisis.
Yeah, I know.
And I was really hoping it was going to be Gates.
Yeah. So Gates is the other deck I looked at building.
Yeah.
But I was just like, people are going to expect Gates.
Yeah.
Gates is like kind of hard to do something flashy with right now. So.
I haven't been updated in a long time.
Yeah. But now this deck is sweet. All right, let's move on to our last deck from Amal GG, who gives us Rakdos Battle. I love Amal. Amal's been out here just looking for more excuses to try out battles, and we appreciate that. Just trying out this cool new card type that hopefully we keep seeing around in the game. So we get four Invasion of Azghul, two Invasion of Fiora, four Invasion of Regatha, four Blood Tithe Harvester, four Frill Scare Mentor, two Rampaging Raptor, two Thermal Alchemist, four Render Inert, four Fatal Push, four Lightning Strike, four Play with Fire. And then a way better mana base than I could afford. All for 130, 140.
The mana base is the star of the show here. We have two Blood Crypt, four Haunted Ridge.
Okay, look. I think the Fable's better than having the mana base.
The deck is kind of sick. Play a bunch of battles. The only thing, I just don't know what Thermal Alchemist is here. Everything else makes kind of sense for me.
Is there a backside that it's relevant for?
Yes. Invasion of Regatha makes him deal 3 damage per tap.
Yeah, there we go.
Which is why we're on the Fatal Push and the Lightning Strike. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And the Render Inert, yeah. This is a similar deck to what Kevman submitted.
Render Inert lets you kill a battle. I always think it's an instant, but it's only a sorcery, which is kind of frustrating.
Yep. Cool decks. Again, Bone Crusher Giant being a dollar, I think is like...
We totally skipped Kevman.
Okay, we can do Kevman's decks. It's similar.
Yeah.
The Bonefish Giant's a card that I surprisingly picked up for like a dollar in the showcase version. Mm-hmm. On like somebody's dollar binder at like a convention where they're like, hey, we're trying to get rid of these. We've been putting up and they haven't sold. So Bonecrusher Giant, pretty great budget edition in my opinion. Great in Giants, as it turns out. You know, things like that.
All right, yeah, we totally miss Kevman, who I appreciate also in their $150 budget, gave us a full sideboard when he didn't have to. All for $150.30. Hold on here. Hold on, $150.30.
Pay that.
We'll give it to him because they definitely charge us for the basics. And we all know basics are free, just basics like your 40K rhinos are free. All right. So you got two Invasion of Azghul, four Invasion of Mercadia, four Invasion of Tarkir, four Bonecrusher Giant, three Ebon Death Draco Lich, three Mishra Claimed by Gix, four The Dragon Engine, four Renner, four Thoughtseize, four Fatal Push. So we got some fun battle dragons here.
We dragon
them. Does Mishra become a dragon on the backside?
Hold on. They don't let me flip the card. So let me go find...
It's a 9-9, that's for sure.
It is a 9-9. What does the backside do?
I'm pretty sure...
Also, Kevman's deck might include a sideboard?
I said it did.
Yeah.
Okay, for his price, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking for the price, so that I think that counts it.
What's the backside? He's a Phyrexian Artificer on the backside. It's Mishra Lost to Phyrexia.
Ooh.
I'm surprised we didn't see any Render Inert with Thing in the Ice.
We afforded four Thoughtseize somehow?
Yeah. The rest of the deck is dirt cheap.
No. It didn't add Thoughtseize to the price.
Did it not?
No, because it's using the arena. Yeah.
Oh.
Disqualified. Give right to Kevman. No longer considering this deck, even though we've read it to everybody. Just not allowed. That's just totally just can't be excused. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cannot be excused. We can add it to our wish list, that's for sure. Hey, otherwise, Phyrexian Dragon Engine, this is a card that we thought, hey, this is just a fine card.
Yeah, we did.
Like you get a 2/2 double striker. You do anything to like make that bigger, although we don't have a necessarily a way to hear. And this is just a fine card, right? We can also unearth it to draw three cards, which I think is another huge one. I've really loved the 2-mana card that's got that discards your hand, draw three cards, but it costs one less for each instant sorcery in your yard. I played that a ton in Modern because the Delve Spells are banned there. Bedlam Reveler, thank you. And I think this card is, you know, Bedlam Reveler light, even though you can actually play that card in this format. You usually don't because Delve Spells are legal and incredibly powerful. So, and then of course, you know, boom, Mishra, really, really good when we're attacking all out. So
yeah.
I wish our card was a little bit cheaper.
It's kind of insane.
Really, if we flip it, it doesn't matter if we flip it and it's a dragon or not because the card's going to win the game when it flips.
Right.
But a lot of these, you get the backside pretty easy with Render Inert, and Render Inert draws you cards. Mm-hmm. I wish Render Inert had a little more synergy here. I feel like there could probably be something that we could do besides battles. But hey, you know, battles are there, right? And again, it does just cycle, so you've got options there. You can also remove counters from if your opponent's playing the Archfiend of the Dross combo.
Mm-hmm.
Get wrecked, loser. Get wrecked. I'm removing all those oil counters and you lose the game. So, hey, if you're playing to get some fun stuff, that's really good here. And, of course, Amal also has Render Inert in their list. And you get some really good value here with Blood Tithe and stuff like that. So two really, really good battle decks to kind of finish us off here.
The problem, though, like you were saying with Render and Thing in the Ice, is that it runs the same issue that Heartless Act does and that you need another spell afterwards.
I don't think it's a problem. That ain't a problem for me. Also, Render Inert draws you cards, which I think is pretty cute.
Does not draw you cards.
It draws you a card.
If you play two Render Inerts, it draws you two cards, Ricky.
That's exactly correct. Right, Ricky.
Absolutely.
Jeez. God, well, you guys don't seem keen on flipping all your opponents' non-horror creatures, you know?
Yeah.
As much as I am. But hey, again, cute combos there, right?
Yeah, all right. Awesome deck lists. And of course, I want to say thank you these submissions as well, because these are also our pages. Like I said, if you want to be included in a potential bonus Doesn't Slap here on the podcast, you can go join our Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. That's several great tiers available. I also, just today of recording, posted a fun bonus deck tech from one Mr. Chris Klein here, going over his sweet Rakdos creativity deck list. I might upload it on YouTube later, but But for now, it's going to live exclusively on the Patreon side. I think as I slowly start getting into more back into the groove of editing videos for us, I'm probably going to start putting stuff on Patreon and then maybe like a week later releasing it on YouTube. It's kind of like a little delayed thing here. So keep a lookout for that as we start moving into getting videos back up and running here soon. And then, yeah, besides those great tiers available, we also have you also get exclusive access to a couple Patreon channels, including the Patreon mailbag, where you can ask a question that sounds something like this. This question comes from Bridger, who asks, are we in a two ships passing meta? It's the sentiment I've seen a lot recently, aside from Rakdos. And if so, how do we change that if it's a bad thing?
Great question, by the way.
Good question.
Starting off with just the question framing way to say, hey, is this a problem? Like, yeah. I love you phrase a question instead of like a hard off opinion. What do you guys think? Yeah. Brilliantly phrased question, by the way.
So, number one, I don't think Pioneer ships passing the night meta is just like a dog whistle for people who want to complain about Magic formats, like at any given amount of time. Very rarely are there decks in Magic that actively care about what your opponent is doing, and you generally just always are like focused on your game plan first and interacting with your opponents to try and to make sure they can't also stop you. So I always hate whenever people are like just blanket going like pie, like X format is two shifts passing the night, right? Like none of the decks are interactive. Like every deck in some way, shape or form is always worried about its own game plan first and what their opponent is doing second, unless you are like a control deck, obviously.
Yep. No, cool. I think great point. I think that, you know, to add on top of that, somebody posted a poll that was like, look at all these terrible decks that don't do anything. There's just no interaction here. And of the 12 decks they posted, 9 had multiple interaction spells, whether that they were Fatal Push, Thoughtseize, whatever else. Those are interaction. And I didn't count Mono White. And somebody decided to be cute and respond to me and go, well, Mono White has Ossification Whisper. Mono White's an aggro deck. I blocked that person because it was a really, really dumb comment, to be honest with you, yeah. To try and tell me that like aggro deck was like trying to be interactive. It's just that you have some way to remove like an opponent's blocker, right?
Yeah.
It is some amount of interaction. I wouldn't call it an interactive deck. 9 of the 12, I think, play a significant amount of main deck interaction, right? When you're playing burn spells, Thoughtseizes, whatever else. These are all, and of course, Rakdos Sack does a lot of interacting. It's a lot of one for one card advantage. But like the only decks that aren't are like Mono Green doesn't do a ton of interacting, right? I would say you've got Karn, but all the other decks do is Spirits, right? Counter spells. Rakdos Sack. You've got Steel and Sack stuff. You've got Thoughtseizes. There's a lot of extra disruption being played right now, which is kind of why I think right now, not that I'm advocating for it, would be a time where you could probably bring back Winota, other than it's probably a little too swingy for people's liking. But yeah,
people just want to see that creativity is playing two card combos and don't want to pay attention to the fact that deck is like half removal spells because right. You have to survive to end the game.
You have to survive to play your cards, which is why you're playing Volcanic Spite. And before the deck had a little bit of a problem with Planeswalkers until Volcanic Spite came along. It was like, hey, I can actually deal damage to Planeswalkers now. But that deck survives off of its I'm going to call it the Magma Spray, but it's the one that's spell masteries for 3 damage.
Fiery Impulse.
Thank you, Ricky, to my back. Fiery Impulse and what a Volcanic Spite. And then you even usually play counterspells. You even usually are playing the casualty counterspell as well. So you have plenty of ways for interaction, sometimes divide by zeros. You actually play a lot of interaction in that deck to try and survive to your combo. So I do think that it's been way overplayed by people who just do not play the format and are upset that they're losing to people who know the matchups better than them.
Right. Even in matchups like Convoke versus Humans, there's no like ships in the night. Blocking is interaction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Playing defensively to survive like the initial push
yep.
of Convoke and then try to piece together a win with yep. your cards later, right? Like trying to like, it's okay if I take some hits now. I need to keep my board built in a way that I can eventually take back over this game. That's still interaction. Like
yes.
The thing is, when I think of like ships passing in the night formats, I'm thinking of like Hogak Winter,
mm-hmm. yep.
like Hogak Summer, where it, like literally the Hogak deck is like, it's turn 2, it's turn 3. I'm going to try to win. I don't care what you're doing. And like the other player is also playing Hogak because that's just the best thing to be doing. Right.
Yep.
Normally quote ship passing in the night formats involve one or two decks that are so powerful at not interacting. That's what everybody decides to do, right? like KCI in Modern becomes so powerful because it's so difficult to interact with. But like very rarely are you ever doing I'm trying to remember like any card game that I found that even did this, right? Where you just sort of like pass back and forth until like one of you goes off, the other person didn't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, usually I would describe that as like hyper aggressive metas with like combo metas. Like, again, I think that Boros Convoke could be kind of considered a little bit of a goldfish deck, but I think, Ricky, you did bring up overall an amazing point. One of the things that Michael Jacob said when he first saw the format and how much he loved it, he was one of the guys who brought the blue-white artifacts deck, the blue-white scissors deck to the table, was like, Pioneer's fantastic. You actually attack and block, and Planeswalkers don't dominate the format, right? I'm not playing with Teferi that stops me from playing actual Magic cards. I'm not playing with, you know, oh, well, Oko got banned everywhere, but you get the idea, right? You know, I don't have Uro. I don't have Uro that says, hey, I don't care what you do. Right, whatever you do doesn't matter to me. I'm gonna Uro, gain a bunch of life, play a bunch of lands, and then go off. You know, or even if you care about Field of the Dead, I didn't super, but Field of the Dead was another deck that was like, well, like I can interact with you if I want to, but eventually I'm just gonna ramp and play a bunch of Field of the Dead stuff. Right, I'm gonna totally ignore what you're doing, or I can, and my whole deck is ramp into Field of the Dead, and yeah, I can block, but whatever you do is kind of inconsequential because of that. So it's a great point that there's mostly attacking and blocking decks in this format, or that's mostly how you're going to win the game, with the exception, of course, of like a mono green or combo decks in general. But, you know,
if you are just like playing an aggro deck into aggro mirrors and you're just like not blocking and trying to race and like getting frustrated when you lose those races that you didn't even put time to think into, right? Like that's what I think of when people are complaining about Ships in the Night format and stuff like that.
Agreed.
And somebody definitely should not be passing in the night. And it is part of play skill to identify when that's you, when you need to be turning on the fog lights and looking for your opportunity to get back into the game.
When are you the beatdown is one of the earliest articles, right? When are you the earliest articles? Preach it. I am so glad I'm on this podcast with my two friends who've just, you know a ton about Magic and lore and understand the game in that way, because, you know, again, we talk about this format and why we like this format. That's one of the reasons why you do have to understand that the play and the draw is different. Doesn't matter. Absolutely. You've always sideboarded differently on the player, on the draw, not always, but a lot of the time, right? There are cards that are, that's been the case for forever. And so again, there's a lot of kind of new school, I can say whatever I want instantly on social media, hit send over reactions, but the people who are putting in the work are being rewarded with Pioneer, and there's new decks coming out and new cards, and people can call them awful all they want. If the power level of the format is lesser than Modern, there's no free spells and there's no initiatives and there's no stickers. And there are way less Planeswalkers, right? Way less Planeswalkers in this format. So, you know, great question. Great answers by my friends and co-hosts.
So good question. Thank you, Bridger. And again, patreon.com/crew3mtg. Got those several tiers available. So be on the lookout for more stuff coming there. That'll do it for this week's episode. We'll kind of probably figure out a topic for next week, and we might pull patrons again and be like, what should we talk about? As things kind of happen, as we wind down from RCs, and then, I mean, we don't have a set release until
Friday.
Green, so
I can't wait. Next week's episode is going to be what to do while everybody else is opening Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Wait, we're going to open some Lord of the Rings this weekend.
I'm not.
I will be with Chris.
And Nate.
I would, but I have to stay at home all weekend and wait for my phone to potentially ring if stuff breaks. Because such is the IT life.
Such is the IT life.
Right, well, I have to listen to people yammer on about Lord of the Rings lore.
Yeah. Look, anyway. I would just be there. The only lore I would talk about is how sick Grond is. Gron's my favorite character.
I'm so happy. I've seen all the Lord of the Rings movies one time. In middle school or high school while I was sick, and we had Blockbuster online.
Yep. By the time you had watched it, you weren't sick.
Ricky, I want to know how long it takes for the dragons that are next to me to go from passing out product to actually opening product.
Yo, they're going to watch the like puppet show movie.
Yeah, the extended cut.
Tom Bombadil.
Yeah.
And why it's very important that they all sing about taking a bath together.
For new listeners, there's a game store near me where I went to a pre-release, and we had to wait 30 minutes to open our product because the judge was talking about all the Phyrexia deep lore. And then Ricky thought surely I was joking and went to a pre-release at that very same store and found out, no, I wasn't joking.
Thankfully, I was playtesting for the RC. And so, like, we got, like, three extra playtest games very quietly, right? It was, like, the deep playtesting grinding games where you stop talking to each other.
Yeah.
And you just hand gesture cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what was happening the entire time. He's very excitable, very, very intense person who really loves Magic lore, and I'm glad for them. However, I wanted to open my packs and get the heck out of there.
Yeah. All right, well, that will do it for this week. Where can they find you on the socials, everyone?
You can find me on the tweeters at @its_Christmas and Christmas has no T.
You can find me on Twitter being an old man yelling at clouds and reminiscing about the old days at also Steve.
Yeah, and you can find me at Crew3Podcast posting all sorts of different things and hobbies we're getting into. I like someone who commented when I posted my my Grand Archive in Pokemon Mail Day. They were like, nice Lego flex, because there's the Lego instruction manual also in the picture.
You do have some nice Lego flexes. You could be flexing with them Legos.
Yeah, I can't be a Lego YouTuber. I'm not as good as the free build Legoing. So and I don't have enough space. As you can see, we're already pretty bricked up here. But one day soon we'll move and get a house.
There was a tweet I saw that was like, well, I won the RCQ, and good news, they give out store credit, and it's just a picture of, like, a big Slave One, I think is the name of Boba Fett.
It's not called Slave One anymore. Disney decided to axe that name. Now it's just Boba Fett's spaceship, but I think it just goes by its the type of ship it is, which I believe is a Firefly 2?
Well, it was a Lego set that is way more complicated than any 7-year-old could build. That's for sure.
They missed a big opportunity to call it Fetty Wap, you know?
Yeah.
Yo, I could do a whole podcast on Fetty Wap.
Yeah. All right, well, like I said, we'll be back next week. We'll figure out a topic then. And then I think the Patreon for this month at some point, the exclusive Patreon episode will be probably Grand Archive stuff. And so we've all been hyped Grand Archive. So if you want to hear about Grand Archive, make sure you sign up for the Patreon at the $5 tier or above. We will talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.